And me reading from our latest books. My heartfelt thanks to all of you for having tuned in to the first hour today, and also that same heartfelt thanks to Doris and Carolyn for their wonderful readings. Two perfect books who were so generous and helpful, and Conyer there who helped set up for that Out of Town for Me launch, and for all of those who came to listen that evening, making it a very beautiful event. Before we move into the next feature this hour, I really should probably do this. So here we go.
Two out of three geese. Six out of seven seagulls. And this Transylvanian owl all agree that if they had their own radios, they would tune in to CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting just for you from Kingston, Ontario, Canada.
Our house is a very, very, very fine house.
Late in the 1970s, four Kingston women got together to discuss the idea of creating a community house, a place where grassroots organizations, families, and groups could gather, a place where food could be prepared and shared, new skills could be learned, and lively discussion could be encouraged. For over 30 years, Kingston Community House has provided low-cost meeting space for hundreds of groups, allowing people to come together to learn from one another, share resources, and trade skills. As it becomes safe once again to gather in person, we look forward to providing the Kingston community with a comfortable and convenient place to reconnect with one another. Located in downtown Kingston, we operate 7 days a week. For more information on Kingston Community House and how to book, please visit kingstoncommunityhouse.org.
Folk Everything is your passport to the finest in folk music. Old, new, and everything in between. The wonderful, the wild, and the weird.
Walk quietly by, he won't bother you. He's a busy man, he's got things to do.
It's all here Saturdays from 10 a.m. until 1 p.m. Folk Everything with Hugh on CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston.
And you are and have been listening to Finding a Voice here on CFRC 101.9 FM. We are located in Lower Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. My name is Bruce, and here every Friday afternoon from 4 to 6 o'clock, we do stream live online as well at www.cfrc.ca. And just a quick reminder that both hours every week of the show are uploaded to my personal blog space for it at Finding a Voice on cfrcfm.wordpress.com. It does remain there for 3 years. Before we move into the second feature of the show today, I just want to quickly, again, there are just a few days left of the funding drive, and I'd just like to mention that it does run until December 31st. We are getting close to our $25,000 goal, so it would be so cool if we could reach that this year. And my heartfelt thanks to so many of you that I already know have donated. And if you're one of those that's just been kind of holding back, not sure, or just had forgotten about it or whatever it is, and you are maybe sort of interested, please go to our website, www.cfrc.ca, and click on the donate button, and it brings up all the information that you need. You can get a tax receipt, or you can go the other way, and then that's donating through Queens on that page, or you can donate through CFRC, and then you qualify for gifts and things like that, and there are amounts and what gifts you can get. So, again, heartfelt thanks if you have already donated. Again, this will be my last plug for it, because my next show is going to be in 2025. So it's hard to believe we'll be starting a new year. So check it out if you can, and every little bit helps, just so you know. I will say that now as we begin, I probably should do a standard sort of start of the hour announcement, but you are listening to Finding a Voice here on CFRC 101.9 FM. We are now officially into the second hour, located in Lower Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. My name is Bruce, here every Friday afternoon from 4 to 6 o'clock. We do stream live online as well at www.cfrc.ca. And I think maybe what I'll do is just go ahead and introduce the next piece featuring two book launches today. In the first hour, you heard the one from Ottawa. Now we're going to move back to Kingston in this second hour from a November 28th launch event at the Great Lakes Museum. And that was just set up beautifully that night. It was really, really beautiful. The ambiance and the way the venue was set up was just incredible. So from the Great Lakes Museum in Kingston and billed as A.E. Best and the Villanelles, you'll hear Ashley Elizabeth Best launching and reading from Bad Weather Mammals, her book that just came out, a book of poetry that came out this year. And in it, you will hear Sarah Yimit Siang, Sadiqa Demeyer, Julianne Oketbitek, Christine McLeod, Nancy Jo Cullen, and Y.S. Lee. Reading also one of Ashley Elizabeth's poems from the book, selecting one to read, and then reading one of their own poems as a companion poem that evening. And it was really a wonderfully done and a crafted event. And you know what? I'll let you just find that out all for yourself right now. Here is that event that night, and I think you're going to love it. Here we go.
Done.
Okay. All right. Okay. Excellent. Okay. So welcome, everybody. Just to start off with, my name is Kevin. I'm the manager of finance and admin here at the Great Lakes Museum. We're trying to sort of open up our venue a little bit more to a lot more events and sort of interesting programming coming up in the next year. I know some of you have probably been to the Great Lakes Museum before. You've probably been here when it looked a lot different. You probably haven't been here when there was a giant ship parked outside. You might have remembered the previous ship that was parked outside. So we're sort of in a transitionary state right now. And one of the people that I want to thank before we get started is Amy, who is sitting at the back, who did a lot of the set dressing and set everything up and everything here. So. So again, I work at the museum as the manager of finance and admin, but that is not my job right now. My job is I'm going to be host for the evening. To get started with, I'm going to start with a land acknowledgement. So I want to acknowledge the original caretakers of this land, Kingston, the Algonquin, Anishinaabe, and allied nations, the Haudenosaunee Six Nations Confederacy, which includes the nearby Mohawks, and many of the First Nations people who crossed these lands for sustenance, trade, and survival. I have the unique perspective of this that we still have not labeled this line, but the blue line that is on the ground here that you see that is in tape is the original water line when this building would have been placed here. So keep that in mind as you are listening to some of the readers for today. Okay. All right, so I have the bios for all of the readers here, and we're starting in no particular order. We are going to start with Sarah Yimit Siang. Sarah has written a bunch of kids' books and some books of poetry, too. She teaches creative writing at Queen's and is proud to call herself Ashley's friend and a writing group member.
Beautiful book. I've been such a fan of your writing since the first day that I met you, so it's just an honor. So I wanted to read Ashley's poem, My Mother Stops Breathing Beside Me in the Night. Even in prescribed doses, oxy can slow the heart, and in sleep, it forgets its beat. I wondered how long this could go on, her stopped breath, fine dust in her hair bent beneath my own air. Consider the last time you were CPR certified, the ferment of an orange left at the bottom of a bag, summer camp counselor at the YMCA, practicing on a dummy that bore the face of an unknown woman drowned in the Seine over 100 years ago. This is the hunger she's stuck in, the most kissed face of all time, with none of the love. I want someone to tell me what to do, how to make my stopped mother breathe. And just before the blue lip of death, I moved to her body. Feral time, the cruelty of my limits risen. She gasps awake. What are you doing? Rolls over into an audible slumber, attenuated by little white hills. She's so good. And then Ash asked us each to read one of ours, and I wanted to read kind of a companion poem. And I was shocked to discover that I'm old, because I wrote this poem 20 years ago. When I worked in a needle exchange office at 18 Brunswick, and so this is a poem about my time there, and it's called Sophie. Sophie crushes dilaudid, shapes soft powder with her hands, spoons it over a flame until it has the fine hair feel of his warm scalp, hot and flushed with sleep. She disappears after they take him. I'm afraid to walk home along the river and find her open-eyed, pupils dark with broken glass, lungs bleeding with that seaweed taste between last breath and a sky of water. The last time I saw her, I was pregnant, thick-ankled, rising like dough in the summer heat of my office. Sophie held my waist, let my child swim towards the dark sun of her palm. When I see Sophie again, my daughter Abby reaches her hands to feel the craters of old abscesses on Sophie's arms, frozen pools of dark blood. Sophie holds my child easily, her mother hands cup round thighs, and I remember what she told me about her own child. The soft, open sky feeling of his head, the dark down on his skin, stroking his back until dawn, and holding the thought of his shoulders, turning in the darkness inside her, wings that will fall softly, boneless, in first air. Thank you, Ashley.
I feel like I should sit closer to the front. Okay, sound check. Is anybody having an issue hearing anyone? No issues? Everybody at the back, you're all good? Cool, okay, perfect. Okay, next is Christine McLeod. Christine is a native Glaswegian who writes and teaches movement. The author of 2 books of prose, her poems have been finalists for the CBC Poetry Prize, among others.
Thanks, Kevin. And thank you, Kevin and Ashley, for so many opportunities to celebrate. You're a great source of celebrations these days. And even more wonderful to be celebrating Ashley's second book of poetry, a really stunning book. And this cover is really something else, isn't it? Congratulations, Ashley. And that's just the starters, right? When you get inside the book, it's even more spectacular. So I wanted to read a couple of poems, companion poems, that are dedicated, well, both of the poems are to somebody who is here in spirit, Wayne Westfall, who is a member of our poetry group. So I'm going to start by reading Ashley's poem to Wayne, and then I'm going to read my poem to Wayne afterwards. Happy Onions. You once said, "What misery our ambition begins." And I know this because I scribbled it beside a poem you sent out. You never asked me to write about something other than my own troubles, even when I should have. On the last day of the year, we gather for our final meeting with you. Even then, as we read you poems about passages,
You, our divining rod, gift us paintings titled Happy Onions. Tell us of a student begging his Buddhist master on his deathbed not to die, to stay. And the master responded, where would I go? Your loss is a hollow where happy onions grow, waiting for your dispatch. Tell us what you see now that your body is no longer the limit. Love that so much. Have you got happy onions on your wall?
Yeah.
I think Sarah has
got happy onions as well.
I chose one that was a hermitage because it kind of reminded me of Wayne, and it's interesting that you see him as kind of sage-like as well. Okay, my poem is called The Release. The day before had been that ice storm. Now, I was at the yoga studio, up against the wall, leaning hard into therapy balls, working on muscular release. At first, we all winced. Steady pressure on the pectoralis above the heart, and then sidearm. We rolled on soreness in the triceps and deltoid. Your arms were all tendon, emaciated skin and bones. Your eyes, the same gentle glaze. The antibiotics stopped working, you said, which tipped the balance. You looked like some wise hermit of old, which I told you. And you gave your wildest laugh, replied, yes, in my quad cave. A nod to the blanket, tented over your bed to keep out the cold. At the yoga studio at 2 o'clock precisely, I pressed into deep tensions, breathed into them, knowing you were in bed, looking your last out that drafty window. If I wait till February when the days get longer, he said, I'm afraid I'll change my mind. On my mat, I rolled, imagining you encircled by 10 loving friends, fully afire, exhaling and letting go. Remember how the winter darkness lasted for days? I kid you not, the sun came out and began to play over the studio walls and over us like a warm, cavorting spotlight. I leaned into the ache, and a maple tree outside, encased in ice, began to gleam celestial silver, until suddenly its crown burst into glittering sunray gold. That shining.
Next, we have Julianne. Julianne Okot-Patek is a Acholi poet. She is an assistant professor of Black creativity at Queen's University. Her first novel, Weave the Kindling, is out with Penguin Random House next February.
Look at them up close, and of course they echo. Mm. They echo that. Thank you for inviting me to be part of this, and I'm also part of this poetry writing group, and I'm so honored to be part of it. I think I'm the newest member, right? Yeah, and this last year I wrote one single poem and they didn't throw me out. So thank you. Thank you for writing this book too. I'm going to read a poem from I can't read numbers, I need that. They don't ring in my head. I'll tell you when I get to it. Right, it's called Ghazal for an Absent Mother, and I'll read part three of it. She said, "Of course, someone who grew up in the prairies would say the world is mostly sky, fingers still wet on the flint wheel of her lighter. I am increased by her presence, like reaching into a dark river's doubling moon in the narcoleptic light. There's a tree for every bird, a covert of ravens, candelabra overhead, light, a witness. Our fights come out better in public, as shorn grass topples in the faded spring light. Drop walls fall into a weighted tapestry, orbit the tree. She has forgotten what it feels like, seething like light." Such gorgeous woman. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to read a poem that I'm dedicating to you today. This is from A is for Acholi. C, I didn't have to rely on it. And it's a found poem. It's called She Times 33. It's a found poem in the sense that all the words from it are from a page on Joseph Conrad's Heart of Darkness, which is a book that has haunted me my whole life. And found, because it's not necessarily that you wish upon, to just pick the words from that page and then use them over and over again. And in that story, there's a woman who's been silenced in the sense that her presence is just a caricature, right? And I wanted to bring her into the full light, and I wanted to bring her into the world. And so today, it struck me that this poem can also be a celebration of somebody who I love, so I'm going to read it for you. She wild and she gorgeous. She over she woman apparition. She measured she steps. She treading the she earth proudly. She carried she head she high. She values several she elephant tusks. She savage and she superb. She wild eyed. And she magnificent, she ominous, and she stately, she tragic, and she fierce, she like the she wilderness, she self, she eyes gleamed, she back at she in the she dusk, she talked like she a fury.
Next, we have Y.S. Lee. Y.S. Lee is the winner of CB2's 2022 Foster Poetry Prize. Her lyric essay, Tech Tech, was shortlisted for the 2022 CBC Nonfiction Prize, and her fiction includes the YA mystery series, The Agency. Y.S.' debut picture book, Mrs. Nobody, was published by Groundwood Books this spring.
So congratulations, Ashley. This is such a great evening, and I'm so happy to be here celebrating you. I was reading your collection, and it occurred to me, you know, I think it's definitely about illness, it's definitely about trauma, but it struck me really that this is also very much a book about love. And so I wanted to read a poem that sort of spoke to that more openly. So Ashley's poem, Who is Delighted by You? Like any woman on her day off from being essential during a pandemic, I raise in bed saying, oh, just a coffee would be nice. I just wanted a coffee for breakfast, but my partner fries an egg for me after he washes yesterday's dishes. Remember the scissor with fruit flies wings in my coffee, the great kindness of my spoon as it releases the tiny body in the first rise of light. Remember June's corridors of lilacs, the languid rotations of turkey vultures before they hive into a skeletal boathouse. The door recently painted, loud and red. Unexpected and beautiful. Who do I delight like this? Sometimes I see my mother to be chosen for my intensity and not her durability. Sometimes I see Nat, who sees me as I walk to the scene, a 17th century letter, the folding so intricate, to open is to destroy it. But mostly, I see my partner, his quiet kindness, and insistence that the language of our seasons cannot help but survive. So, and so I wanted to read a weird little poem that I wrote not that long ago. This one is called Unrequited. And it starts with an epigraph from Tina Fey, which says, having a teenage daughter is like having an office crush because you're thinking about them a lot more than they're thinking about you. He lolls on the sofa as I drift past, then pass again just to share air, sound waves, this tiny pocket of time. I stop my greedy hands from stroking his cheek, my mouth from begging another hug. I got one yesterday. When he laughs at my joke, I roll in it like a dog on spring grass. Then move on before a moment becomes a stare, which is kin to a question, which is an invasion. Dignity is overrated. So when I bump his elbow, make a sandwich, heart and mean, this is what I mean to say. Hey, I'm here for you. I hope you're happy. I love you.
Next is Nancy Jo Cullen. Nancy Jo Cullen's fourth poetry collection, published by Woolsack and Wynne, is Nothing Will Save Your Life. Her novel, The Western Alienation Merit Badge, was shortlisted for the 2020 Amazon Canada First Novel Prize. Welcome, Nancy Jo.
Oh, this is so nice, and I love how these poems kind of really converse, talk to each other. Like, you know, we all do write together, and we, not together, but we meet and talk about our work. And anyway, I love how we all have different styles, and yet somehow we're in conversation. And this is a really good book. Just looking through it again today reminded me how good it is. And also picking a poem was really hard. Like, there's three, I have three written down, and three companion poems. I could have read one. But anyway, I decided on Sweet 16, which is the poem I decided on. Mom said I had to call Dad to find out where he was. I didn't want to think about the day he would stop coming around, the fist of his mouth. My mother was always attempting to reassure herself by reassuring me. She promised we would go to the funeral together, all of her little foxes in the same part of the forest. Before the funeral, we walked a field as a cast of hawks stroked a November morning into a gaslit day. Time measures itself in a scatter like those hawks. My social worker says I can be the axe to break through the hold of my own misery. I'm learning to be invisible, but these hands refuse to lift the axe. Mom knew how to make me jimmy her heart loose. She could be gentle, then whispering tunes her grandfather left tucked behind her ears. I'm learning what is not mine to tell. I am not as free as I would like to be. My poem is called Lament. And where is it? I keep this line that I have repeated in this poem is, soon I will be old. It just made me laugh when I was reading it. So I'm like, yeah, you're kind of nailing it right now. But anyway, that old is relative. And I am still the youngest of seven kids, so I'm still not old. It's called Lament, and that's, I guess, all I'll say. My father has been dead for so long now, soon I will be old. Who will remember my mother, her moods, her sugar addiction, her Rothmans, and her peach-colored 1977 Mercury Cougar that we sailed into the ditch that Sunday morning before Mass, when my father's death was so sharp and everything was over? That Sunday, I learned to turn into a skid. I learned not to break when my mother said, I should have turned into that skid. I like to think my mother said that, but it was in her nature to panic and slam her foot on the brake. My mother was simply relieved not to have caused more damage, to drive out of the ditch and into the parking lot of St. Charles Garnier Catholic Church. In that way, my mother was heroic. Oh, and her manifest virtues, loyalty, stubbornness, anger, silence, a prudent use of pharmaceuticals. It is a sin to complain. My mother would be the first to say so. But there is still so much I want to know, and my mother is dead. Soon I will be old.
Last of our preliminary readers, I suppose would be a good way to put it, is Sadiqa Demire. Sadiqa has written two books of poetry and one of entire sentences and paragraphs. Her work often explores landscape, art, inner lives, and long wakes of colonialism and migration. She is the current poet laureate of the Catawba Lake Kingston area.
Really beautiful to see this come together when you also witness like the very beginning of this poem. Amazing. Okay, I'm gonna let you in on a Villanelle secret. We have this truism in the group that any poem with a dog in it is a good poem. And I totally disagree. Like I find this like a really offensive concept. And so for some reason, the way that I've been expressing my dissent is that I was like, I'll never write a dog poem. That's all I'll do. And then accidentally, I did. So I'm gonna read it tonight for you. And I feel like I can't lose tonight, because if you like it, it's a good poem. And if you don't, then I'm right. So and I'm gonna open with I propose a new rule, because I noticed that your poem, August, which I'm going to read, has a bullfrog. I bet there are no bad poems with bullfrogs.
That's a new one.
August. I feel better watching a bullfrog devour a smaller rival. The day is at my throat again. Wind wakes to rattle branches overhead. We haul fallen wood, widow makers, from the forest onto the lawn, dry and ready to catch. I toss mice guillotined by traps into the pile of wood. I've tried to name the fallen trees like my grandfather taught me. I'm dressed for the leaves, sap cemented into the lifelines of my feet. Someone told me to stop including the moon, to refrain from drafting landscapes into the architecture of my poems. Face what you're feeling. I place meaning into the object and watch it burn brightly. It is a kindness I can offer myself. So the friend's dog. it's a sad poem. The friend's dog has leaked red sludge all morning, dragged herself out to the rug of grass. Wind chime, chainsaw, bird song. She will not take water. She's old. So sure of this spot that we know not to drive to the vet. The air smells like the iron of her blood. Like Avatar, says the friend, who is losing her golden shadow, her hips familiar. Love that lumbered to the door for her, loyal as a boulder. But this isn't slaughter. The dog sprawled on her side, leftward, westward, legs in an arc as if running. She hasn't done that in years. Doesn't bark or whimper under her warm blanket. A drought tongue, map of crevices, spills over her mouth's obsidian ridge. We're not sure of the instant when. We think she has, until she yawns once, gives an almost whistled sigh. Then the brown eyes turn to aqueous green marbles without centers. The friend's hand clings behind a velvet ear. A silence, even if sound goes on. Blue balls come in fast. The dog's still dimly with us, warmth in her pale fur, and has also found the aperture, bounding motionless into that breathless there. Dear nosing navigator of the waysides, edges, verges, tell us where.
Okay, we will move on to our featured reader. and before we do, I want to say a thank you to everybody who's coming. I am particularly new to the staff at the Great Lakes Museum, and it's really exciting to me to see new people sort of inhabiting the space in different ways. So I want to say thank you to everybody for coming. I want to say thank you to Novel Idea for coming at the back, who has books for sale after the reading is complete, if you so desire. And we will continue on. So Ashley made, I am hosting, and Ashley wrote her bio for me, and I think the best way that I could start is Ashley Elizabeth Best is my wife. So Ashley Elizabeth Best, or A.E. Best, is a disabled poet and essayist from the Cataraqui, Kingston area. Her work was long listed for the 2021 CBC Poetry Prize. Her second collection, Bad Weather Mammals, is now available through ECW Press. She is honored to be a Villanelle.
Thank you to the Great Lakes Museum for letting us use this space, and especially to Amy. You've been so amazing setting all this up. This is all, like, it's gorgeous. And thank you, Villanelle. Like, I feel like this whole tour, I've been saying this to other people, but especially tonight, I think this is my, like, selfish being, like, I want to celebrate my loved people, like, with the people I love, my community. I want to give back and give thanks. You have been, you're my family, you're my chosen family, and, you know, you've been with me through a lot. I mean, been meeting for, almost 15 years now, and even the newer members, you've just been such a huge part of my life for the last few years as well, so thank you, and I have desserts and wine, and it's also just such a gift to hear my poems read by you, like, in conversation. I think that's the other thing is, through this tour, hearing what other people are reading, and then I can come up and be like, oh gosh, I have a poem about a whale too. And, you know, just being able to, like, share those synchronicities and things like that. So, here's to community and our loved ones in our lives. So, thank you. So this, I think I've been saying a lot to you on my tour, but, like, this book is about a lot of tragic things. I think I write a lot about a lot of tragic things, but I'm not a tragic person. So, you know, it's just my lived experiences, but there's a lot of, like, hope and joy, I think, in between, which I think as people we're all trying to do. We're all trying to maintain that hope and joy as we go through our day-to-day. I will just, like, launch in. As you can probably tell from some of the other poems that were read, I have a difficult relationship with my mother. So this is called "The Best Thing About Today Is It Is a Feeling and It Won't Last." I'm not sorry anymore that she doesn't like her life. My poems dispirited by her, thick mentions of road trips and landscapes and pissing into Lay's stacks canisters while stuck in traffic. Today my mother sent me a framed picture of her heart, ladybug stickers in each corner, a chest preparing for new growth. My kitchen lights flicker, the pulse of my mother's heart on the ultrasound machine. It's a day where everything contains the possibility of her, of the heart she's trying to salvage. Who else would understand the tease of her laugh or decipher an ultrasound image of a heart, a letter you're too embarrassed to read twice? I mean, my writing group knows, but you know, my mom was disabled. I grew up with a disabled mother, living on assistance with four younger siblings, and so she has this like profound like ability to have legitimate medical issues, but then also like exaggerate them, which creates this whole medley of fun things to disentangle, which features a lot in this book, as well as my own issues with disability. So this poem is called "Good Sick, Bad Sick." The sick should be good. It is a kind of undoing. You take phone calls from your psychiatrist. You want to be delivered safely into the compassion of others. Bad sick is having an ill body and letting it rot. Those you love don't need you unless you're suffering. Become your own precise terminology, a congregation of whispers, an army of murmurations, a flock of routes, an unkindness of biochemicals. You can slip from your body like cool air runs against the skin. Spirits are borrowers, and yours has been caught roaming. But your laugh has no breath, no air pumped to the gut, no moment to cup in your hands. You have a hunch you're starving, and your mind will begin to digest the recognizable, to pull on the minutes of your days for nutrients. Everyone wants to hear how your mind has betrayed you, but there was no disloyalty, just little stories you didn't know how to tell. I should also say thank you to Kevin for hosting. Thank you. Yeah, I was in Calgary 2 weeks ago? I don't know. Time's weird. Especially with the time change, and I was in a city almost every, a new city every day, but someone read a poem about a blue whale. Then this is sort of about a skeleton of a blue whale and its heart that they blew up and then preserved somehow. Yeah, I don't know if anyone saw the exhibit at the ROM a few years ago of that. Originally, the blue whale had exploded in Newfoundland. It had washed up on shore, and they waited until it exploded, and then they sort of took the bones and everything and made an exhibit out of it. But so this is called "Proud Flesh." A month after my release, I cut my hair short and studied the heart of the blue whale. I thought of how easily I could crawl inside and pound the taut lining until everyone at the ROM thought me alive again in my heart shroud. My eyes reddened on capillaries. Blessed are those who are seen and not silent. Here a rose in the vase of a blue heart. I fingered dry stitches on my belly, imagining turning inside out, the stuff coming out like roots, like thread, the inside of a mackerel, the fine gut, the same color. Just like that. I found it very relaxing, imagining myself being a mackerel being eaten by this blue whale. Sort of just like this little cog in the machine of the world, which may be a little frightening to some people, but it's great. And I actually haven't read this on my tour or at all yet in public, I guess. Yeah, it's called "Why I'm Afraid to Go Home," and it's written in memory of my first love, Sean, who took his own life in 2017. So, yeah. And it's about Coburg, where I grew up, which I have mixed feelings about. Because it hunkers empty behind overgrown bushes, a place to leave and never go back to. Because Junebug's jalopy bodies crash into your cheeks on midnight bike prowls. Because I don't want to remember the color of day rise over a flat lake, fog and opal blend of sky and water. Because the rain, the storm he walked me home in, thump of waves daring to be good to me. Because Victoria Park is flecked with Xmas lights, parched winter wind pummels lifeguard stands on the slate shore. Because no one sees him there anymore, where he walked me over the tar of lake weeds, tall body in a chant of water. Because the Ferris wheel perched on the edge of the pier embossed the distance of Dad's figure as he bought shitty keychains from a woman and her daughter. Because of the way midges forage dawn's royal light. Because of my bedroom with the mattress on the floor. Because anything valuable is cloaked in a lineage of fear. Uncle John handing out white powder and baggies in the school parking lot. Because memories of him in the marrowed quark of sunspots in the backyard, talismans for missing. Birch bark, zebra mussel shells, forever crown the square of his departed jaw. Coburg's a big beach town. Didn't have the best accommodations. It was still small, but I was fortunate to like grow up basically on the beach, which was a marked change when I came to Kingston because it's all rocky. So I think the big thing I did in here, big thing, there's three or four of them, hermit crab poems. And I took forms that were given to me by disability services over the years and I sort of wrote poems into them. I've been saying a lot, I guess, on this tour too, that like, I think these types of forms are often written about us, but not for us. And we don't have to say, it's often like our medical documents with doctors or medical files. So I thought, well, I'm going to have my say in these poems. Will they ever read them? Probably not. But so the top just says Ministry of Children, Community and Social Services, Ontario Disability Support Program. And then the number, I'm probably still known by in some government way. Dear Ashley Elizabeth Best, I'm writing to you about your income support from the Ontario Disability Support Program. Resilience is cultivated out of necessity. It's communal in survival of the fittest kind of way, and none of us are fit. How can language conjure illness, make it a body of waking light, launched forward onto its own shadow? You told us you no longer want to receive ODSP income support. I had to submit my partner's financials that my grants and his income would make it impossible to continue receiving support. Voluntarily leave or fight again, again, and again. We have closed your ODSP file for now. Your income support will stop as of April 30th, 2021. When the woman at the bank whispers, ODSP, shame is the truth whispered. The thrill to speak it back at full volume, I hope the world can learn to see me as I am. Consider, it is a privilege to have a story, to know your own narrative as surely as you know your own name. I think I'll read the one that's not like four pages, the other hermit crab poem as well. And this was a form I had discovered about like the decision that they had made to qualify me as disabled and then give me support. And there was a lot of like revelatory things in there that I didn't even know that my doctors had written in and it was in the decision. And like, so it was like, oh wow, I didn't know I was diagnosed with that. That's fun. So always read forms if you can get them. So it says date of previous disabled decision, May 27th, 2013. Summary of the disability decision. The following is the key information regarding the recipient's previous presenting conditions, impairments, and restrictions that originally found the recipient to be eligible for support and were expected to last 1 year or more. Previous medical condition 1, written out of my own story. Previous medical condition 2, cadence of clouds fraying one raindrop short of a storm. Previous impairments, held the sensation of words for kindling. Cravings drag arteries, abdominals expanding, trash accumulating in the belly of a whale, inner ear warbling like the flutter of insect wings. Previous restrictions. Unable to complete her university education or work due to recurrent episodes, planning to drop out. Previous prognosis, recurrent, episodic, and unknown. Furnace. Furnace? I don't know.
It's a new venue.
Yeah. The reason for the previous disability decision was as follows. My body is the earth I have buried my troubles in. Some sprout, some winter. Will you give me the time to be okay? I will take the time to be okay. And I'll just read one more. This was written the spring of COVID, you know, all of that surfacing, and you know, at that time I was able to sort of, you know, largely thanks to Sarah, she helped me work this manuscript into shape, and so I was able to take some time and sit down and just think about my life, and I guess this poem came out of that. It's called 2020. We started the new year by keeping our eyes open. I take poems to entryways, the space above my bed, around the couch and dinner table, talismans against the kind of people we were afraid to become. The year miscarried its first few months, and then, throb of spring, butterflies land in the snouts of flowers. We hike Frontenac Provincial Park so long and hard, my toenail peels off at the end. Bugs huff at our necks. A frenzy of garter snakes mating in cool spaces between granite outcroppings. A group of tiger lilies at the trailhead. We prayed for stars to fall, and they've taken up in ditches from the point of empty. And we begin to fill. And you've all filled my cups tonight, so thank you so much.
Thank you again, everybody, for coming out tonight. I really appreciate it, not as just the spouse of one of the readers, but also just as somebody who has experienced many different poetry readings through many different things and stuff like that. I'm always glad to see new people and sharing their craft. Please do not be polite and pretend like you don't need anything to eat or drink. Please eat something and drink something before you head out. There are books for sale at the back in case you haven't already got one. I'm sure all of the readers here would be happy to sit and chat and hang out afterwards. And I guess the last thing to say is, again, thank you for coming and have a good night.
And from a November 28th launch event at the Great Lakes Museum and billed as A.E. Best and the Villanelles. Yeah, you heard Ashley Elizabeth Best launching and reading from Bad Weather Mammals and Sarah Yimi Tsiang, Sadiqa Demeyer, Julianne Okot-Bitek, Christine McLeod, and Nancy Jo Cullen, and Y.S. Lee reading a poem from that book, and then also reading one of their own poems with it, tying them together as a companion poem. And it was, again, a really beautiful event. It is... almost 54 minutes after 5 o'clock. It's hard to believe that this show has gone by so fast today. My heartfelt thanks, first of all, I've got a few messages to take us out of here. But before I do that, my heartfelt thanks to all of you for having tuned into the show today. An equal thanks to A.E. Best, Ashley Elizabeth, and all the readers, again, Sadiqa, Sarah, Julianne, Christine, Nancy Joe, and Y.S. Lee for their wonderful readings and also allowing me to air them. And also to the Great Lakes Museum for the truly beautiful setting they had there that evening. It was really nice. And also for the people that came out to listen, I should say you are and have been listening to Finding a Voice here on CFRC 101.9 FM. We are located in Lower Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. My name is Bruce. I'm here every Friday afternoon from 4 to 6 o'clock. We do stream live online at www.cfrc.ca. And just a reminder, both hours of this show are uploaded every week to my personal blog space for the show at Finding a Voice on cfrcfm.wordpress.com. They remain there for 3 years. Please do stay tuned for 2 hours of East Coast music and a show called Saltwater Music, hosted by Rob Carnell. I hope you can tune in again next week. And I also want to remind you that if you've been thinking about, again, heartfelt thanks to all who have donated to the funding drive. But if you're still thinking about it and just haven't done it yet, please go to our website, www.cfrc.ca. Click on the donate button that you'll find there and check it out. Every little bit helps. Again, thank you so much. All of you have a beautiful week and a happy new year till I catch you here again. Enjoy.
Friday evenings at 6 p.m. here on CFRC, listen to Saltwater Music, a show covering all musical genres from the East Coast of Canada. Celtic, of course, but also rock, jazz, blues, folk, and a lot more. I'm your host, Rob Carnell. Tune in to Saltwater Music Friday evening from 6 to 8 here on CFRC 101.9 FM. Or you can catch us on the web at www.cfrc.ca. And for our listeners out east, that's 7 p.m. Atlantic and 7:30 Newfoundland. Hey, la, na, 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 na,
na, na, na. Hey everyone, this is Joseph Guido. I am CFRC's Airwave YGK Musicians in Residence Project Intern. Do you love local music and supporting local arts? CFRC's annual funding drive is running until December 31st, and your gift is needed to help us provide local musicians with modern, top-of-the-line equipment, space, and technical support to better showcase their creativity on our airwaves all year round. Help us raise $25,000 this year. Make your gift today via cfrc.ca.
Hello, CFRC listeners. This is Christina Laurie, CFRC's Local Journalism Initiative news reporter. CFRC's annual funding drive campaign is now underway through December 31st, and you can help CFRC keep our listeners informed on issues that matter with modernized broadcasting equipment and trained team members. Help CFRC hit our $25,000 fundraising goal this year by donating today at cfrc.ca.
Have you been dumped? Left all alone? Just want to find your soulmate? Look no further, because your new best friend is waiting for you at the Kingston Humane Society. The Kingston Humane Society is a nonprofit animal organization founded in 1884 that is supported solely by the community, receiving no government funding to assist in their mission of caring for injured, abused, and homeless animals, with the goal of creating families and homes for the animals. They are the only open shelter in the region, accepting every animal brought to them with compassion, respect, and humane assistance. If you want to donate to help these animals find their best friends, or if you're interested in finding the new love of your life, please visit kingstonhumanesociety.ca. Everyone just needs a little love.
Cold weather getting you down? Warm up this season with amazing hot food to go at Old Farm Fine Foods. Pizza, frittata, sausage rolls, sandwiches, soups, and more are ready and waiting to get in your belly. Plus, you can also buy fresh and frozen foods to prepare at home and enjoy a huge selection of meats, cheeses, produce, coffee, beverages, and condiments. Pop into the shop Monday through Saturday between 8 and 5 at 204 Berry Street in downtown Kingston. And don't forget to follow Old Farm Fine Foods on Instagram at OldFarmFF. To get the scoop on the latest goodies. Old Farm Fine Foods, comfort food you can count on.
T
2 out of 3 geese, 6 out of 7 seagulls, and this Transylvanian owl all agree that if they had their own radios, they would tune in to CFRC